This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. Thanks to Pete for getting us up to speed on everything going on in sports. Let's kick off the blitz on the gridiron. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Miguel, thanks for the time. Who do you think is actually going to be able to come back on this offense who hadn't been playing?
It doesn't look good for Trent Williams. He's out Sunday. Chris Thompson, Jamison Crowder, also probably out. Crowder's probably your pick out of the three if you were to pick one guy to make the comeback. I think you're looking at Morgan Moses maybe being a little bit healthier. I think he's been playing through some things the last couple of weeks. One thing you don't want to undersell, Adrian Peterson said yesterday he's been able to lift weights for the first time in 3 weeks, bench press. He's feeling a lot better from his stuff he was dealing with earlier this year, too. So that's a positive.
Miguel, what's the most important thing here to beating Houston? They got some pretty marquee names, some pretty high flyers on offense. They're dynamic. They got a couple playmakers on defense. Most important thing for the Redskins to win this game at home is?
Boy, I do think shutting down those receiving weapons, especially now that Demaryius Thomas is part of the show. But I think it's equally important to get Alex Smith a little bit of time to work and a little bit of running room for Adrian Peterson. Yeah, I would say the big four, certainly. You start with Watson, obviously. He's a dynamic playmaker. You move to the defense, Watt and Clowney. There's a lot of guys you got to circle as. These guys can make an impact and win the football game if you don't keep them in check.
Michael, you wrote a piece on Alex Smith. We've been tweeting about it. And you basically tried to tackle the idea of the fact that they're 6-3, the fact that he has been a part of teams that constantly win, that he's not playing that well, but the team is benefiting from him not turning it over. It's super complicated.
It's super complicated. I'm a professional football explainer guy, and I'm done. That's kind of what I'm saying to people. I'm just throwing my hands up. Every Sunday, I watch this guy, and it's painful to watch at times, Grant. He's not very good sometimes. That Vernon Davis throw, not very good. Some stuff to Jordan Reed, not very good. It's tough to watch. And then you wake up Monday morning, and the Redskins are 6-3, and, I don't know. I'm willing to drink some Kool-Aid. I would like a serving of Kool-Aid, please. Maybe, just maybe, quarterback may have something to do with this.
Yeah, certainly part of it. There's a lot of other parts, too, though. It's just always funny how it ends up. My argument, Michael, is if it's all about quarterback record, then we should just quit. Nobody needs us. No one needs any analysis. No one's anything else. You just need access to Google to figure out what quarterback has the best record, and we can all go home.
It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing Bruce Allen has said in a long time, and that's a list of some ridiculous things to suggest that Alex Smith is a good quarterback because he's a winner. And yet, here I am every Sunday. I have no way to explain this at all.
You're the best, buddy. Let's talk soon, okay? See you, Miguel. Let's do hockey, please, Tommy. James Johnson Reagan joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline for his portion of the Beltway Blitz. Talking some puck, covers them for NBC Sports Washington. One win, one loss, one win, one loss. The dance continues. What are you seeing, JJ?
Well, it looks like they had turned the corner when they played Minnesota. With Tom Wilson back, there was a clear energy to the team. The lines look set. The offensive lines have been shuffled so much throughout the season, and it looked like everybody finally had their right place in the lineup. And then heading into Winnipeg, everything just blew up because of all the injuries. Braden Holtby wasn't starting. You had Michael Kempney was sick. You had Evgeny Kuznetsov leave early. You had TJ Oshie getting body slammed at the end of the game. So it's hard to judge them based on what happened last night. I thought they played fairly well considering the circumstances against a good team on the second leg of a back-to-back. So I think they're headed in the right direction. I think last night was just a little bit of a stumbling block considering all the injuries that they had to deal with.
Phoenix Copley has played well now in four straight games. He had a three-game winning streak snapped yesterday. They figured something out back up net mining spot?
You know, they may have. I was very impressed with him early on, and then I pulled back on the reins a little bit because nothing looked easy for him. He was making everything look difficult. Rebounds were hard to control. Simple pucks were hard to control. Everything looked difficult. But you know what? The last few games, it's hard to poke holes in how he's played. He's played very, very well. And the guy just keeps on winning. He keeps on performing for this team. So I think there was some hesitation to turn the reins over to him early on, considering how important backup goaltending was last year. But if the guy keeps on winning and keeps performing and keeps putting up numbers, then it's hard to find fault with how he's playing.
Thank you, Jackson, Jeff Coat Reagan. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Let's talk basketball, Tommy. We bring on handsome television gentleman Nick Ashew, whose television program is
Wizards Outsiders on NBC Sports Washington.
NBC Sports Washington, to talk about the Wizards. Nick, this to me is the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. It is that the Wizards beat a few bad teams. Mm-hmm. We think everything is fine, and they are in purgatory instead of being either really good or really bad. It's the old Mr. Miyagi, one side fine, other side fine, middle, that squish goes the grape. I don't like it.
I like the visual there, first off. That was very good. I'm thinking of a great being squished.
I didn't get that at all. I know what the movie is.
You know, sometimes with Danny, there's certain details you get, and then you just accept the rest of it, and it's a nice visual.
He's basically
way.
Telling Daniel's son that you can't go halfway on something. Either you're in or you're out. You go in the middle, you get crunched by moving oncoming traffic.
Here's the thing. You can look at it two ways. You can certainly look at it that they're in purgatory right now, but they're also, 14 games into the season? So there's still a long season ahead of them where they can totally make up for the disastrous start that they had at the beginning of the year. Like, people forget that those West Coast trips and those types of slumps the teams go in a lot of times happen later in the year. Now, granted, it could be something that just lingers throughout the year. There's certainly a lot of things they still have to work on. Defensively, they've got to defend the three. The Cavs shot 18% from three last night, but they're also just a really, really, really bad team.
Yes.
So we've seen that. But sometimes you have to have these get-right stretches where it can help a team, where they can find some chemistry, where they can figure out their rotations and their roles. And by the way, Jan Mahimi hit a three. Like, we need to celebrate that because that might be the greatest accomplishment in the history of all of basketball. But, yeah, look, I'm with you. It's not – right now they're sitting at 5-9. It's not a good record, but they've also won three straight. And we'll see over the next couple of weeks, especially with, look, an improved Nets team. I know they're 6-8, but they're still a decent team. You've got Portland coming up. You got the Clippers again. We're going to know very quickly whether this team has started to figure some things out or they fall back into their old habits that they had to start the year.
But aren't they kind of in a terrible spot when diehard fans like Danny are mad when they lose and mad when they win?
Of course.
Like, what is the...
Well, first off, Danny's mad at everything, so we have to preface it with that.
But my point is, I'm in the same boat as Danny, for the record.
This team this year, go ahead.
Yeah, like, there's nothing likable about this group. They're not going anywhere. Everybody knows that. They can't compete for a title. The best thing that could happen is they're awful and they get a great draft pick, and they're not going to do that either.
No, they're not going to tank because they've committed too much money to too many guys unless they decided to trade everybody away, which I can tell you they're not going to because the Timberwolves offered Jimmy Butler for Bradley Beal and they laughed at it, which rightfully so. You should, because nobody should want Jimmy Butler on their team because he's going to want to get traded in a year and a half anyway. Listen, they put money into guys that at the time felt like the right move. Whether you want to look at it now and say all of those were the right moves or not, that's a whole other story. They're committed to essentially their quote-unquote, it's not even a big three, I would say a medium three if you want to do that now.
They're committed to three people. Whether they're big, small, or different, there's three people.
And that's all that they have. Unfortunately, this is the way that the NBA is, where salaries were skyrocketing. And like, for example, when Otto Porter got paid, that was the market for him. It's not like they were the only team that offered him that money. They wanted to retain his rights. They did. They paid him, and now they're stuck with essentially what they have being painted into a corner. So that's really what it is. They have two options. It's either if they were to trade everybody away and blow this thing up and then spend the next 5 years rebuilding, or try to make what you have work right now, and they're choosing to do what they can to make what they have work right now.
What you have works right now. It works every day.
Well, thank you.
It's the ensemble. Your hat's on backwards. It looks so stylish.
When is it ever not
work?
Straight out of a magazine. You know
I am ready for spring. Can spring hurry up and get
here? You don't
here?
Need spring. You yes. got,
I'm ready for summer so we get some Instagram pics of him
better.
At the beach.
Yeah, you're good with layers. Just everything you do looks right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. You always improve my ego, which is all I need.
We should go to the beach together sometime.
We could go to the beach together sometime. Let's plan a family vacation together.
I would love that.
Perfect.
Are you a beach reader, or you just like sit with your sunglasses comfortably, not sweating?
I am a music and stare at the water type of guy. I'll read a little bit, but I prefer not to do a damn thing when I'm at the beach.
You wear a shirt?
No, why would I wear a shirt at the beach?
Good answer.
Right.
It's a good
sunny.
Answer, right, Danny?
Sunny and warm.
You can see his abs better because they're tanner. You know what I mean? I don't know why the science works there, but like when you're pale, you can't see him as good.
There's shadows. The sunlight will bring shadows on you. Lighting is very key for anything, guys.
Of course.
And thank Photoshop.
You know that from your model.
Thank you, guys. No, there's definitely none of those.
That is your Beltway Blitz. Nick's got to go do a shoot right now, as a matter of fact. Around the NFL at 12:45, but next, let's get into the Redskins and the trends offensively, defensively. Are they coming together in a way that could benefit them down the stretch? During that time or after, if you want to keep the conversation going.
At Funny Danny from me, at Grant H. Paulson, for Grant H. Paulson.
The Redskins are claiming that offensively they're getting real close to breaking out. I don't know if you've been hearing some of Jay Gruden, Alex Smith's content and comments coming out of Redskins Park, but they're both seemingly comfortable with the progression the last couple of weeks. We've seen some good signs. Smith seems to be getting on the same page with Josh Doctson more often. Not necessarily on anything downfield, but on some of those in-breaking kind of quick, skinny post routes to get underneath of safeties and inside of cornerbacks. They've even hooked up on a couple of plays along the sideline that early in the year Smith was not throwing. So it's clear he's getting more confident in him. I think the rapport between Smith and Maurice Harris has really come a long way in the last couple of weeks, with Harris having caught 15 passes in the last two games. So those are some signs of life, clearly. Are you buying the idea that the offense is close? Do you think we are where we're going to be all year with this group, where they're not going to score? It's going to be a struggle. Or with Crowder coming back, Thompson coming back, Trey Quinn returning, Trent Williams eventually being at left tackle, do you think they will find a way to start scoring 23 to 25 points?
I don't have enough ways to express how little I buy this. There is no tangible or possible way to use enough eloquent words for me to scream to the heavens how much I don't buy this at all. This offense, against the two worst defenses this sport has to offer, averaged 15 points a game and barely got to 300 yards over the course of those two games. This offense is awful. Against any kind of decent defense, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to hope for a couple 12-play drives and seven takeaways and pray for rain. They have no chance. This offense stinks. It's going to stink. There's nothing that's close. There's no execution that's waiting. When Jameson Crowder comes back, is he not going to be used the same way that he was when he was healthy early in the season? When Chris Thompson comes back, they'll still be averaging 16 points a game and be in third and long because they run it on first down. If you stop that, you stop them. This offense is bad. It's going to be bad. There's no magic trick. There's no magic formula. There's no if we clean up the penalties, .. You have nothing easy, nothing dynamic. Every inch is schemed up for. They have no chance to be any good. You have to win a completely different way. That's how it's going to be. They've done it enough where you're confident that they can squeeze out a couple more and win this bad division. But to me, there's no way this offense all of a sudden goes through a renaissance.
I'm not down on the offensive upside the rest of the year as much as you are. I wouldn't buy in on a binary, buy or sell what is being said, because I think they're going to have problems all season. And there's a lot of reasons for it we can kind of wade through if you want to. But this weekend, as an example, I don't like this matchup at all. You mentioned how bad defensively Atlanta was, how terrible defensively Tampa Bay was. You didn't take advantage of any of that. You didn't do anything against those teams. Houston can actually get after the quarterback. They actually have personnel. Whitney Mercilus coming off of the edge. J.J. Watt, one of the best defensive linemen in the National Football League. It's him, Aaron Donald, a mile-long gap, and then everybody else at that position. When healthy, I think Jadeveon Clowney is still a special, unique, differentiating talent. They have players, the likes of which Tampa Bay and Atlanta do not. And a group collectively, a unit on that side of the ball, they're not a juggernaut, they're not the 85 Bears, but they're good. They're much better than what you've played. So this is not a week where I'd say you should get right. I thought that was going to be the case against Atlanta. It wasn't. I thought that was going to be the case against Tampa. It wasn't. The reason I don't come out and say they're never going to turn a corner, they're never going to get right, is because I still believe that when you get Crowder back, even though you used him really poorly early on, you're better off because he's a better football player. I think talent wins. When you get Thompson back, he's an upgrade over Peterson catching the ball out of the backfield or Capri Bibbs.
Mm-hmm.
or Samaje Perine. When you get Trent Williams back, all of a sudden you don't have Ty Nsekke anymore. Now, to just use the injuries as an excuse isn't good enough for two reasons. A, Williams has missed a couple games. You know, Thompson has been on the field more often than he hasn't been. Crowder has now missed a little bit more than he hasn't. However, again, when Thompson was on the field, he wasn't doing anything. When Crowder was on the field, he wasn't doing anything. Trey Quinn comes back. This is huge. He got hurt very early on, but I don't have any delusions of grandeur that he would have been some on pace for 70 catch, 1,000-yard option.
This isn't, I don't know, pick your great receiver coming back. This is Mr. Relevant, who's a nice story, who might help them a little bit, but nobody's going downfield. Nobody's blocking it up. Nobody's running after the catch. Nobody's in space. I think there's just the thing I keep going back to is nothing is easy for them. Nothing. It's like
it'll get a little bit easier with the guys they get back, but it's not going to get easy button easy. You know what I mean? They don't have that.
Right. And I understand not everyone gets to have DeSean Jackson. Not everyone gets to have.
But my point is, throw Maurice Harris a screen, he'll get tackled in 5 or 6 yards.
Yeah.
You throw Jamison Crowder a screen, he might get you 12 or 13.
Which he did a bunch of times last year early.
Chris Thompson has taken screens to the house for 40 yards the past. He's gone 3rd and 15 and gone for 75.
I mean, Bibbs scored on one a couple weeks ago.
Perfectly blocked, you would have scored on
very well done. But I don't know, man. It just, to me, there's got to be a time where something simple, something that's innocuous, turns into something major, turns into that broken tackle, stiff arm, great individual play. Nobody is capable right now of making them. And it used to be Jordan Reed who could do it, but now it doesn't seem to be either used that way or capable of it. I don't know.
Their wide receiver core, I think it's closer to average than people think, but right now with the injuries, it's obviously well below that. It's not good enough. Their weapons on offense, their speed with the football in the hands of their players, not good enough. Their quarterback as a passer, not good enough, very limited. All of those things are reasons why they're not going to be great offensively the rest of this season. But I do think they are trending up, and maybe that's where we disagree. But you're saying this is just what they are, this is terrible, they didn't do anything well against two bad teams, and you're not wrong. I do see a trend with, you got to look real hard, you got to strain your eyes.
You got to want to see it. Yeah.
Doxon, Maurice Harris, and some of the things that are happening. Here was Alex Smith on the offense getting closer.
Not very far away from scoring a lot more points. It's those situational things we do talk about. But for certainly that the turnover we had, that we only walked away with three, hit the ball to Vernon. I mean, all of a sudden, I think you convert two or three of those, and all of a sudden it is almost a 30-point game. So
every team can play that game. Every single team, just say hit the ball to Vernon casually. They've been missing on those throws all year.
The fact that it comes down to one. And this is my point again with the penalties I ranted about like a lunatic earlier. If you're talking about one missed opportunity and that's why you didn't score 30 points, with all due respect, that's bogus. New Orleans misses on a throw. The next one is another 20 yards down the field.
Right.
If Cooper Kupp doesn't make a catch on the sideline, the next one's going to Brandon Cooks for 50 yards. Good offenses play good offense. Bad offenses, when they face the worst defenses in the sport, do more than
this
group.
To that point, there is no mistaking. They don't have the margin for error of those other offenses.
Right.
But I don't need them to be New Orleans and L.A. They got a better defense than those teams. They got a better teams than those teams. They got a better running game most of the time than those teams, or as good as. They don't have to be the same. They just have to be not terrible. And Alex Smith is saying, I think we're really close to scoring more points. The question is, do you guys agree with him or not? 800-636-1067. Do you see a trend upward where you are not as concerned of this offense as you were a month ago, or has your level of issue with that group not changed? This is The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And all of a sudden, I think you convert two or three of those, and all of a sudden it is almost a 30-point game. So,
what turnover is Alex Smith talking about? Didn't they not turn the ball over in that game?
Isn't he talking about a different game? Maybe like over the course
he
of
might
these
have
weeks?
Misspoke, yeah.
Yeah, or something, like where they had a...
I'm just trying to rack my brain. Did I forget something? pretty sure they didn't turn it over at all against the Bucks.
Well, against the Giants, there was a fumble, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying. If the question is about larger picture, hey, you guys aren't scoring any points at all over the course of the season, especially lately where you're averaging 16 a game, which is unheard of in this league
over
the last month plus.
Yeah, for the actual year, the average isn't terrible. In fact, it's a couple of people have sent me some stats where the points they're averaging on as a team right now are not that different from last year's points per game. The difference is the scoring in the league is way up. It's easier to score right now than it was even a year ago.
Let's put this very simply, and people will want to complicate it and look past it, et cetera. The Redskins are 6-3. Everyone's aware of the information. Now, can we talk like adults? They have the second fewest points in the NFC behind the Arizona Cardinals for the worst. Shh. Shh.
Right.
Me right, you're wrong. Me right, you're wrong. Me right, you're wrong. Everything else is irrelevant. Please stop talking if you disagree. I don't care about your dumps. The second fewest points in the NFC. They're 6-3 because of other reasons. Just you just don't live in this incorrect place.
With a defensive touchdown and a bunch of short fields in there.
Start off with everything Danny is saying is correct. And then we can have a conversation about some nuance in there going forward. It's the second worst offense in the NFC behind the worst team there.
It's more simple than that, honestly. That number clarifies it pretty well for you. Watch the games is what my quote would be. Watch the games. Tell me this is it. Make a case that this is a good offense and do your best.
They've outscored the Bills and the Cardinals this year.
That's it. By the way, defensive points in there. And special teams, every week, great field position that they win the field position battle every single week. Short fields routinely.
I should be clear. Actually, Grant, I take it back. I was wrong. Bills, Cardinals, and the Raiders. They've outscored.
Oh, okay.
Standing gif. Standing Shia LaBeouf clapping gif, everybody.
I'm supposed to believe, according to a guy low on Twitter, reading his tweet here, that the guy who told me Alex Smith can make every throw and he's a vet and doesn't need a preseason, talking about Jay Gruden, not a chance. He says he is not buying the idea that the offense is very close to scoring a lot of points. Jason says, simply put, they have to cater play calling to Alex's minimal strengths. He says, or bench him, which I think would be a terrible idea. But you're right. There are very few strengths at this point. I don't know why they're not catering more to Alex Smith.
Me too.
I don't know why we don't see more rollouts. I don't know why. We're getting to see a lot of jet sweeps and stuff now, which is good. But I don't know why this offense doesn't look a little bit more like Kansas City's last year. I don't. I can't help you. I can't figure that out. I have no idea. That's maybe partially to blame for their lack of success. You can blame the weapons on offense. I think that's fair. Obviously, you can blame Smith's performance. There's probably a lot of fingers in that pie. Let's go to Oscar in D.C. Do you believe that Alex Smith's right when he says they're about to score a lot of points?
Yo.
Hey, so I'm terrified of this team. This team is not well offensively. We have our heads so far up our butts that we think we're too good for Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall. Teams like the Saints that are getting ready to go to the playoffs are signing these guys because they know that other teams have high-powered offense. We don't have that. And then if we stumble into the playoffs like the dummies we are, we'll go in there and we'll get our tail just beat. We're going to get beat, and then what's going to happen? We keep Jay Gruden just because he had a winning record and got us to the playoffs? No, we're not going in the right direction. I'm terrified to play these teams. Every team that we play scores high yardage on us in the passing game, and it's dumb teams like the Buccaneers that don't take advantage of things like that, but teams like the Saints, the Rams, who will be in the playoffs, we'll take advantage of that. And
992 yards given up the last two games. I disagree that they're not trending in the right direction as an organization. I categorically disagree. They have their best record in 10 years. And I just think, forget 6-3. The process is better. They're drafting pretty well. They've got some super young, talented players, particularly on defense. They went and got Adrian Peterson when a lot of people, including me, didn't think that was a good idea. And it turned out to be a very, very good idea. He makes an interesting point that I think has some merit, though. I wasn't a Dez Bryant guy, you know, Brandon Marshall, whatever. But teams like the Saints, who move the ball with ease and score a million points, are going, we need to do more.
They saw a need for it, yeah.
And the Redskins go, we got Maurice Harris. Oh, we're fine. We got Brian Quick, and we just signed. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you heard, but we got Michael Floyd now, too.
Championship.
So we're pretty good on wide receiver. Rusty's in Haymarket.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey, fellas. Thanks. We barely have a bunch of number two wide receivers. I think most of the teams in the league wouldn't even take our guys as number twos. The only reason why we're 6-3 would be defense, special teams, and we don't turn the ball over. So that's what I got. Thanks.
Okay, but answer this question. So what we're asking is, Smith is saying they're close on offense, that he thinks they're about to score a lot more points. Do you believe that?
No. I believe Danny is right. We're not. We don't have anybody. We can't score. We're just not going to score enough points.
Thank you, man. It's a good phone call. The issue I take with the comment, and maybe where I have the most problem, like, buying this, whether it's Gruden, Smith, whoever's saying it, what you inevitably hear is, yeah, it's just that one penalty. We're making one mistake. We're getting behind the chains that one time. That is not going to stop. See, the notion is, we'll stop making that penalty. We're not going to have that hold. We're going to get rid of that false start. We're going to clean that up. You're not going to play a game with two penalties on offense. Most teams don't, by the way. You just don't. It's not how the game works. But especially when you're using a bunch of backups and you're using guys who got signed last week, it just doesn't happen. The idea should be that you build your offense so that you can overcome the very inevitable and obvious and eventual setbacks that happen. The idea should be, I got to find a way to be able to score three plays in a 75-yard drive. I need a 52-yard catch. I need a screen to a running back who goes for 46. That's how it works in this league. That's how points are scored. Because when you do it this way, the ground and pound, the beat you up, they hand it to Peterson 42 times, the penalties cripple you. That's what it does. Either the Gruden-Smith philosophy, that's what they don't understand, or it's what they just refuse to acknowledge. They'll be the first team to overcome it. But the point is, summed up, when you have to go on double-digit play drives like the Redskins do, you give them the ball first and 10 from the 25, the minimum they're scoring on is 7 or 8 plays. At the minimum. More than likely, it's going to take 10 or 11 to get down the field, probably. One of those plays, more often than not, is going to result in something negative.
It undoes everything. When you have no margin for error, the teams that are good, infinite margin for error. Infinite.
Yes.
The largest gap of all time. It's the Grand Canyon of gaps. We have no gap. We have the gap in between the door of the toilet stall and the edge of the stall.
Big fat thighs that touch. No gap. Drew in D.C., what's up?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, fellas, man. Y'all hit on a lot of points. I think with Gruden and Alex Smith, like I was just saying, I don't think Alex Smith really takes ownership of his down play within the league. I think he really thinks he's okay because he said a couple of plays here and there and they'll be good. But also, by me going to a lot of the games, and like I said, I was just in Tampa Bay, when you look at Kirk Cousins when he was here, he averaged almost 4,000 yards a season. But also, the plays that they have Reed running, they don't have him in space. Reed is not a type of tight end that you're going to have to do a hitch pass and take, 20 and 30 yards. You need to have him in space and use him like a like Grump or somebody, put him out there. But also, to say this in closing, I think Jay Gruden, he needs to revamp his offense because a lot of the routes they run, the guys are in the same place. You like a lot of them passes, they right beside each other when he's throwing the ball.
I agree. I don't understand why that's happening now. That's a conversation I probably need to have with Gruden at some point next time I see him. But I've always been a big proponent of Gruden building passing offense. I still think he's really good at it. But this year, not coincidentally, the results are so bad, it stands to reason, I have a lot more questions than I ever did before. And I don't know if it's a Smith thing. He's with a new quarterback. I don't know if all the throws are closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if there's things that are open that aren't getting hit. But it doesn't look as good. It doesn't look right. And I don't even mean the results. I mean the plays, the concepts. Maybe it's that the talent isn't good enough. But look, they did the same thing last year. Crowder wasn't himself. They had Brian Quick catching passes on game-winning drives. They had Maurice Harris diving for touchdowns against the Vikings.
I just know in the past that Garcon and DeSean Jackson weren't running within 5 yards of each other. I just know that Jordan Reed wasn't running to the exact same spot as Josh Doctson, and they were both defenders were covering everybody.
Yeah.
Something's going on with this offense this year. I don't know whether it's guys don't know it. I don't know whether they're getting confused. I don't know whether option routes are leading people to the same spots. I want someone to tell me why it seems like there's less space than there's ever been in the history of forward passing.
I think, honestly, it's that we can hit on this in more detail next. There's nobody that goes into a game against the Redskins saying Alex Smith is going to throw the ball down the field. So all the defenders are closer to the line of scrimmage.
And that dictates your reads as an offense?
Well, there's just less space. Think about it. If you have 11 defenders closer to the line of scrimmage than you used to have 8 in that area, there's less room for everybody. Until you throw it behind everyone, there's no reason to back up. And the Redskins played 30 yards off the ball against the Bucs, and they just ate them for lunch for 12 and 15 yards at a time in the middle of the field. That throw to the Redskins receivers is covered by 2 and 3 defenders because nobody is playing center field 40 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got a lot to do with it. They're squatting on short and intermediate routes because there is nothing deep. Devin, by the way, said Smith was talking about the defense turning the ball over, maybe getting the Redskins the
ball. Oh, maybe. Okay.
Which is a good answer. 800-636-1067. Smith says they're close. Are they? We're Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the fan. We'll push going around the NFL because people want to weigh in on the Redskins, and we dig that on this show. Evan Silva gets your fantasy lineups set for Week 11 at 1 o'clock. DFS plays for tonight. Year-long questions and comments. We will get all of it done with him at 1 coming up in 10 minutes. And because it's Thursday, right?
Checking. Yes, it is.
Devontae Smith-Pelly, 130. Breaking down the Caps, who were looking for a second straight win in as many nights last night and couldn't get one, but have looked much better since Tom Wilson returned. Are the Redskins as close as Alex Smith is saying they are offensively? Rodney's in Landover. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Hey, buddy.
All right, look, I don't think they're close at all. I think it's going to be like this all year. And, you know, I don't think it's just only our receivers not being able to take the top off the defense. I think it's also just Alex Smith, man. I think just, you know, with our mediocre receivers and with him throwing the ball, I mean, we are who we are. And then not only that, to hear somebody say, well, if they stop holding, if they stop jumping off sides, you know, they'll be able to, you know, move the ball down the field. I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, that's part of football. It's going to be holding. It's going to be jumping off sides. Those things happen. And, you know, every time they jump off sides or they hold, you just know they're going to punt after that. So, you know, I mean, they just are who they are, man. I mean, you know, the only thing we can hang our hat on is the running game and the defense.
Appreciate
Thank
you, buddy.
And that running game can go away. And yeah. It has very easily at times.
If you're doing a pie graph, you tell me if we have to add a category, but ideally it'll be these three categories.
Okay.
Scheme, now that is, you know, among it, play calling, things that they've designed for and not for Alex Smith, what have you. Talent around him, and then Smith himself. And you're divvying up basically your blame pot for the offense being terrible.
Okay.
And I would put the injuries in the talent part.
Yeah, that's
of it.
Part of talent. Yeah, what he has available.
Scheme, talent, Smith, how would you do it?
49% talent. 49% Smith, 2% scheme. Because that scheme has gotten people open.
Yeah.
That scheme has produced 5,000 yards. Now, the reason they didn't score more points in previous years, I think, is also a talent thing. But they've moved the football under Jay Gruden consistently. When talent's available, the ball moves. I think Smith is limited. I think that's always going to be the case. But that's part of the charm, is that he's not going to turn it over in exchange for safety. I got no problem there. To me, though, when you combine that without dynamic playmakers to make little into big, you get what we're getting now. You get 16 points a game, basically, against the two worst defenses that the sport has.
We're similar. I'm going 55% of the problem is Smith, 40% of the problem is talent, 5% is scheme. And when I say scheme, it's not that Jay Gruden's scheme is bad. It's that they could do a couple things maybe to make life a little easier on him, to Alex Smith-proof their offense a little bit more than they have.
Is that a kind of under-discussed subplot of this year? You know what I mean? Remember, we talked to Cousins, obviously, every week, but there were times where it was like, dude, I would love to get some more bootlegs. I'd love to get some more things. And he had to beg Jay Gruden to put some of those things in the game plan.
Yeah, probably.
You think there's kind of, I don't want to say a tug
Again,
of war or heads butting.
Is it under discussed? I mean, we're talking about it being, you're saying 2%, and I'm saying 5% of the problem. How much time should we waste on it? But yes, I think just wave a wand over it, fix a problem, do a little bit more to help him for sure. But I think the quarterback is the biggest problem, and then very substantially, people will just tune out now and say, oh, you hate the quarterback.
You hate him.
Still very important, almost as important as the fact that, yeah, their offensive personnel is not that good. Now, the difference is the last couple of years, that's been the case also. They've gotten better at running back. They've gotten better at running the football. Their offensive line, every bit as good this year. By the way, the injuries they have now, you go, oh, they're crippled. They were last year, too. They actually were, earlier in the year, more crippled than they are now.
You go back to the last several games of the season. They put up point totals like this.
The wide
receiver
position.
Scoring.
The only difference really is Chris Thompson this year has not been as good as last year. But he was also hurt for the second half of last season. Jim's in Fairfax. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Big fan of the show. Hey, they have no – their offense is going to be the same all year long because it's not one area. When I heard Smith say, oh, you know, if we would have hit that one pass, that's 7 points. And if we would have hit this, to get that one penalty, then we had 20 yards. Every team that scores 40 points can say that in that same game. You're going to miss a couple things. Their offense has problems with penalties, with like you said, receivers ending up in the same area. I mean, I give a little bit more blame to scheme because there are too many instances where Smith is just back there trying to throw the pass and you know, there's just nobody open. I mean, I watch a lot of NFL football, and there are so many receivers by busted coverage that are wide open. I can't think of one play where a receiver for the Redskins have been wide open.
Vernon Davis.
Smith has hit him.
But even he's talking about like a busted coverage, like Allison running through the secondary, because you've got to account for
Vernon
so many
Davis.
Different people.
That was a 70-yard touchdown that was designed beautifully on a corner post. He was wide open. There was only within 25 yards.
He was certainly open. But I mean, I guess I don't know if he was talking about this, but I mean you got so many receivers and so much to worry about. The two guys go, oh crap! And they remember when Josh Doctson had that catch that it should have been a touchdown his rookie year.
Yeah.
Where six guys went to DeSean Jackson and Doctson's fair catching the damn thing.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. It doesn't happen to the Redskins because nobody's afraid of anybody.
Paul Richardson was wide open at about the goal line against the Giants 2 weeks ago. Ball was 15 yards to the left of him, and safety couldn't even intercept it. It was thrown so poorly. I mean, I agree they don't have as many open receivers downfield as the great offenses do. They're not a great offense. My point is they haven't taken advantage when they've had them. I can't lose sleep over the fact that it doesn't happen enough when it does happen, they still don't do anything about it. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I can't get a date. I can't get a date. Well, a girl was willing to go out with you on Saturday, and you said you wanted to stay
in.
No,
I just can't get a date, though.
I understand, but when that girl said she wanted to go out with you on Saturday, you didn't go. And then I had another girl line up for you Sunday, and you didn't want to go either. But now you're mad because you can't get a date. Evan Silva, set your fantasy lineups next right here on Brent and Danny. Devontae Smith-Pelly at 1:30.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.